Amen. So good to have you here today. We wish every mother in here a happy Mother's Day. It's right to honor you. I had a wonderful mother. She loved us, all eight of us, and I was always her favorite, so I appreciate being the favorite out of eight. And so anyway, she treated all of us in reality like we were the favorite. She was a good mother. She was an awesome, awesome lady. Loved the Lord, got saved later in her life, and just loved the Lord with all of her heart and served him until the day the Lord called her home. And she's in heaven with Jesus today. Some of your mothers are in with Jesus today. But on Mother's Day, we often think, you know, one of the things that all humans have in common is that everybody had a mother. Adam and Eve are not here, so they're the exceptions, but they're not here. But everybody else after them had a mother. They are loving mothers with, sometimes there's angry mothers. Sometimes there are artistic mothers, and there's good cook mothers. There's also bad cook mothers. We won't point them out, and I don't suggest you do as well. But we all know about neglectful mothers. Sometimes there's neglectful mothers. Not everybody had a wonderful mother, as I did. There's sometimes possessive mothers, controlling mothers. There's sometimes inspirational mothers. Sometimes there's hovering mothers. They just say it's all out of love and I'm just trying to nurture, you know. Well, the umbilical cord got cut 48 years ago, Mom, let me go, right? So, but there's all kinds of mothers. There's happy mothers and there's unhappy mothers. There's funny mothers, mothers who aren't so funny, who are very serious, and mothers who live a long time or some who were cut down early in their life and went on to the next to their reward after that. But the one thing we do know is that we today, in a biblical concept, it's a biblical principle, we want to honor the mothers who are here today. And I'll tell you what, you know, we don't, in this life, are never going to have perfect parents, whether it's a mother or a father. But the one thing we do know, I want you to hear this, is we have the great, incredible, undeniable blessing of having a heavenly Father, an elder brother, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who come to us and encourage us and love us better than any parent on earth could ever do or even hope to do. Somebody say amen. This is God. Today I want to talk about a mother who was troubled. She had trouble in her life, and before we do that, I just want to talk about some other kinds of mothers, some other stories. You probably all have your stories that you could share as well. But there's a mother whose son was getting married, and it was this, and her son was getting married. He wanted to introduce his bride-to-be to his hypercritical mother. Don't raise your hands if you have one, and don't raise your hands if you are one. We don't embarrass you. But sometimes there's a hypercritical mother, and in order to get an unbiased opinion, he invited over three other female friends as well, as his fiance, and he didn't tell his mom which one he intended to marry. And after the four women left, he asked his mother, "Can you guess which one I want to marry?" And she said, "The one with short hair." And he says, "Wow, how did you know that?" She says, "She's the only one I didn't like." Some people have mother-in-law problems and are going to have until until the day they die. So, you know, there was another story of another mother who had just finished taking CPR class at a local college. She wanted to help people and be there on the spot if somebody was in need of CPR. And so she took her class, and then she, this guy said, he says, "I took my mom to the mall. We were walking through the mall, and there was a big crowd gathered around a still body, and Mom took off running like a shot at a high rate of speed. The highest speed she could muster, and she was yelling, 'Everyone back! Everyone back! I know CPR!'" And just as she threw herself to the body and was about to begin the CPR, a pair of strong-armed hands picked her up and lifted her to her feet, and was two policemen. And the officer said to her, "Ma'am, we're trying to arrest this man. He's not having a heart attack." But she was quite encouraged to be a big help. Amen. Say amen. Sometimes we think we're helping, we're not. And then there's another, you know, some of the mothers today are not real high tech. And there was this lady who had a friend, name was Nancy, and she wanted to introduce her mother to the magic of the internet. And so we took her to online to Ask Jeeves, a help site, and told her that Jeeves could answer any questions that she had. And as I sat with my fingers poised over the keyboard, Nancy's mother thought for a minute, and then she responded, ask Jeeves how Aunt Helen is feeling. Didn't work. And the joke bombed. I'm sorry about that. So, how many, and don't raise your hands, have a mother who's the master of guilt trips? I think mothers are, it's in their DNA, I think, you know, just like the look is in every little girl's DNA. They showed me a photo of herself. She showed her a photo of herself, of this mother did to her daughter, waiting by the phone that never rings. And this daughter says, Mom, I call all the time. If you had an answering machine, you would know that I tried to call and how often I've tried to call. And soon after, you know, she had her brother, talked to her brother and said, hey, get an answering machine and put it in for Mom, install it for her, so she has a record of when I call. So her brother did that. And the next time she called, she got to her answering machine, and there was prompts on the answering machine. And it says, if you're a salesperson, press 1. If you're a friend, press 2. If you're my daughter who never calls, press 911, because the shock of your call is probably going to kill me. So, any mothers have trouble getting your sons out of bed to go to church in the morning? Or your daughters? You go in there. Well, one Sunday morning, William's mother came into her son's room and said, William, it's Sunday. It's time to get up. Time to get up and go to church. Get up. And from under the covers, he mumbles, I don't want to go. And what do you mean, she said, that's silly. Now it's time to get up and get dressed to go to church. No, he shot back, and I'll give you 2 good reasons why I don't want to go. I don't like them, and they don't like me at that church. Nonsense, she told him. I'll give you 2 good reasons that you need to get up and go to church. Number 1, you're 42 years old, and number 2, you're the pastor of that church. Give you one last one. It's a favorite of mine. I've probably used this before, but there was a mother preparing pancakes for her 2 sons. Kevin was 5 and Ryan was 3, and the boys began to argue over who was going to get the first pancake, and their mother saw the opportunity for a moral lesson and a teaching about Jesus, and she said, if Jesus was sitting here, he would say, let my brother have the first pancake. I can't wait. Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, let my brother be Jesus, and I'll take the first pancake. So anyway, just some cute little stories about mothers on Mother's Day. I hope you enjoyed. But we want to get to our text today in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Let me read the scriptures, and then we'll get into the story line behind this. Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He was out of Judah. He was away from his home country, and in a Gentile region, which was very unusual. There was a reason for it. And a Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. Remember those 2 titles that she gives him. For my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. And then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us with all of her begging. And then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came back and worshiped him. Now, we talk about worshiping him. She was bowed at his feet, prostrated herself at his feet, pleading again, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Can you imagine Jesus saying something like that? But he did. And she replied, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath the master's table. Verse 28, dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great, your request is granted, and her daughter was healed instantly. She was instantly healed, instantly set free. That is the omnipresent power of God. The spoken word of the Lord Jesus Christ carries great weight and authority. So at this time, Jesus is nearing the time of his death when he decides to go north into the regions of Tyre and Sidon. And his disciples, he wanted to prepare his disciples to take them along, and he wanted to talk to them about his death and prepare them for it without interruptions from the crowds of people who showed up everywhere that he went. So he departs to the north area of Tyre and Sidon, where the Phoenicians lived, and remnants of the Canaanites is there as well. This was a Canaanite woman. No Jew would likely follow him into Gentile territory, but whether Jew or Gentile, can I tell you something, a common thread that runs through all of humankind, whether Gentile or whether Jew, is human need and desperation. It knows no bounds. A troubled mother was found there who had heard of his reputation and of this Jewish rabbi and all of his miracles. And so she brings her troubles to his doorstep, found out where he lived or where he was staying when he was up there, brought him to his doorstep. What drove this woman to seek out Jesus so doggedly, so incredibly in his face to ask for a miracle for her child? This was a very troubled mother. Maybe there's been times that some of the mothers here have been troubled. I know I probably took a few years off my mom's life for the way that I lived through my teen years. And I think every mother almost thinks it's a miracle and believes that there's guardian angels looking after her children, especially the boys, especially little boys. They get so wild in their imagination and believe sometimes that they can mimic and act like they're superheroes. You know, somebody once said that don't ever buy your boys Superman pajamas with a cape because they'll go and try to jump off a roof and think they can fly. And there's just something you learn that you got to be careful because of the vivid imagination. But this woman had trouble, more than just that, more than just the common everyday trouble that many women have, many mothers have. She was a Gentile woman. She was apart, set apart, listen, set apart and cut off from the covenants and the promises of God. She had no right, spiritual right, to go to Jesus and ask this Jewish rabbi for help. The Gentiles hated the Jews, and the Jews despised the Gentiles. And we see this when Jesus refers back to her. But this mother had trouble, and few mothers ever escape being troubled somewhere along the way. You know, there's accidents that happen. I cannot tell you how many times Donna and I ended up spending several hours in an ER because either they had an earache or they had an infection or they had a high fever that wasn't going away. Just trouble. Even it follows into your grandparenting. I remember several years ago, we were talking about this last week when we were babysitting when our daughter Katie and her husband Craig were youth pastors, and they were off at camp, summer camp, with their teenagers from their church, with the youth group, and we had to call them because babysitting for little Nate, who's just a little guy then, probably 4 years old at the time, ended up having a problem. So we took him to the ER, and I can tell you, it's even more stressful and for a grandparent, for their grandchildren, than it was for our children. I can tell you from my personal experience, I was the one who cried when he begged me, "Don't let the doctor do this to me, Grandpa. How can you let him do this to me?" And it was just scary. But, you know, Grandma was there too, and she was pretty upset. So we had to hold him down. And it's just mothers and dads, they do what they can. But there's sometimes accidents. Sometimes there's some pretty bad diseases that come, and some parents have to deal with that. Sometimes there's drugs. Your kids get on drugs, and they get themselves hooked. They get themselves into trouble, sometimes with the law and other times worse. There's all kinds of peer pressure today to be sexually immoral. And can I just tell you today that no matter what the culture is teaching, no matter what the norm is in society, that for the child of God, for the Christian, for the Christ follower, the Word of God is still true. That God calls us to a life of purity and holiness, that he calls us to come out from among them and be separate. This is something that we must teach our children and our grandchildren, whether it comes from mom or dad, or it comes from grandma and grandpa. But God help us to have godly parents and godly grandmothers who will tell their children and their grandchildren the right way to live. There's sometimes unwed pregnancy, and sometimes there's low self-worth. Oftentimes that is the case today, bullying in the schools and bullying other places as well. Dangers of all kinds. Sometimes children who are mature, even as they grow older, they should be mature, but they're not. And there's the presence of evil always in this world. Somebody say amen. There's always destructive influences and temptation that comes against us. Bible commentator John Bingle and William Barclay writes this about this passage, and they write that this mother made her daughter's misery her own misery. Heathen or not, there was love in her heart for her child and great compassion because of her suffering. A mother's love is always reflection, a reflection of God's love for his children. It's just something that God worked into the DNA of a woman, a part of her that is nurturing, a part of her that is patient, a part of her that because that child what came out of her body, that there's a part of her that child is always going to be a part of her, no matter how many mistakes they made, no matter how much trouble they get into. A mother's heart is always to love and suffers along with her children when they go through trouble. It was love that made her approach this Jewish rabbi that she'd heard about. It was love that made her accept his silence and the rebuke of his disciples. It was love that made her suffer the apparent rebuffs of his disciples and even of Jesus. It was love that made her see the compassion behind the words of Jesus and all that she'd heard about him. I want you to hear this, that she heard about him, her telling her that I've come only for the lost sheep of Israel. You have no part in this. It's not right to give the bread that the children eat to the dogs. She recognized that this is a man that I'd heard about. He must have something else up behind his words. And so she took his words of rebuff and rejection and kept approaching him doggedly for a miracle for her daughter. It was love that was driving this woman's heart to intercede for her daughter, even though she experienced all this rejection. And there was love in her heart that caused her to not take no for an answer. This troubled mother shared her daughter's agony. It was a well-known fact that parents, especially mothers, suffer, as we said earlier, with their daughters and their sons who are hurting. It's a pain that haunts, I believe, mothers day and night. I believe it's a prayer, it is the trouble that causes many mothers to spend a lot of time on their knees praying for their children. I remember before my mother became a believer that there was a time when I never gave my mom any trouble, so I'll tell one on my sister, okay? But my sister was a teenager. She was a few months older than I was. And my sister was a young teenager, and she was going out for the night. And apparently she must have been going to a party that she shouldn't be going to. My mom got wind of it. And even though my mom was a pushover, I mean, we could, you know, get away with almost anything with my mom because she was such a mercy-driven person. But I remember at the stairs, it was a tri-level house, and there was an entry level, a little landing there that went out the front door. And I remember my mom, who was pregnant with my youngest sister at the time, and she was like full-blown pregnant. And my mom was standing there at the door, and in front of my sister, telling her, "You're not going out tonight. I know where you're going. You're not going." I'm just telling you, sometimes you got to say no to your children. That's a revelation to some of us. I like to empower parents and tell you that you are the parent. You're in charge. Buck stops with you. You have my permission. But my mom stood at the door, and my sister kept pushing on her and pushing on her, and I got defensive with my mom because I'm a protective type person, and I just said, you know, stop pushing on mom. She's pregnant. Stop doing that. And my mom said, "You never mind. You just go away. I'll take care of this." And my mom, uncharacteristic of her, just stood her ground, and they must have been down there for 30 or 40. My sister's so stubborn. She's still stubborn, but still stubborn. Kept pushing against her. And my mom just stood her ground, and finally my sister burst into tears and ran off crying. And later she came in and apologized to my mom and begged her to forgive her, and she felt so bad for what she did and how she behaved. My sister, I brought that up to her a while back. She's a believer, a wonderful prayer intercessor, her and her husband, and brought that up. She says, you know, I don't know if mom knew or not, but she said, you know, I'm so thankful she stood at the door that day because I was going to a really bad place, and I had every intention of doing some bad things, and mom stood at the door and didn't let me go. So there was something that God puts in the hearts of mothers, of protection and intuition. It's like, how did my mom find out? I remember one young guy, he was in his teens, and he was going through a rebellious time, and this close friend of ours, very godly people, had two sons, and this younger son was just wild with rebellion. and found out later when he grew up and rededicated his life to Christ and got right with God, he said the reason I behaved that way is because I was on drugs. And they didn't know that at the time. But I remember everything that he was going to do that was bad, the Holy Spirit, how many know moms need the Holy Spirit? Sometimes you think your mom is the Holy Spirit. But she got woke up in the night one time when he was sneaking out the door through the den into the garage, and Holy Spirit woke her up, and she bolted up in bed, and the Spirit of God said, get up and go check on Mark. She jumped out of bed, ran up the stairs to his bedroom. He wasn't there, ran back downstairs and heard the door to the garage shut and the garage door opening, and she ran as fast as she could to get there, and she caught him as he was backing out his dad's classic 1962 Chevy, restored, and, you know, he just his dad's baby, and yelled at him, Mark, what are you doing? He was like 14 at the time. And he had taken credit cards, and he was going to the airport to get an airline ticket. His dad was a pilot, so he knew how to do this, and fly down to Texas to visit his girlfriend. And as she yelled at him, he jerked the car because it startled him and scraped the side of the car on the way out the garage door. And when everything got settled down and his scared the daylights out of him and got back in, and she's, you know, giving him, you know, this. And he said, how did you know? How did you know what I was doing? She said, the Lord woke me up and told me. And he says, I wish God would just stop telling you everything about me. So frustrated. Because there had been other instances of things like that where she found things. Some people say, my mother is a member of the FBI. She's such a good investigative, you know, inspector. But FBI, in a mother's sense, means the Family Bureau of Investigation. And she's a special agent. So, but we need the Holy Spirit. Moms, you need the Holy Spirit. Dads, you need the Holy Spirit. Let's talk to dads a little bit there. We need his wisdom and his insight, the words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and the interpretation of our tongues, of our prayer language that he can tell us, so that we can be protective and be the kind of parent that we need to, the spirit-filled parent that we need to be for those times. But many sons and daughters don't understand or even appreciate the concerns of their mothers and of the bad choices that makes deep effects on other people, especially their mothers and their fathers. They don't realize. They think it's all about me, and this doesn't affect anybody but me. It's me that counts. It's like, no, everything you do affects other people. Everything you do affects other people. You know, something else about dads and moms, but especially moms, is their love is unconditional and constant. It's very rare. I know there's rare instances where there's a problem like that, where something's not normal, something's not the way it should be. But, you know, there is an unconditional love. I've always said of myself, and I know my wife would say the same thing, is that there's nothing our daughters or grandchildren would ever do that would cause us. We would disagree, and we would be disappointed for bad choice, but nothing would ever stop us from loving them unconditionally. And that's the way God is. You know, God sees what we do. It breaks his heart. It grieves the Holy Spirit when we do things that we shouldn't do. But God's love is constant and unconditional, and he's always there waiting, reaching down for you to take his hand, let him pull you up out of the gutter, out of the mess that you got yourself into. You know, that mother, as I said earlier, carried you in her womb. You're a part of her body, and she has this incredible love for you that really does not die. This girl was under the control of demonic powers. She was not just under the control and oppressed, but it says she was possessed by a demon that troubled her greatly. This mother determined that her daughter's problem to be a demon possession, because in this particular area, the culture of Tyre and Sidon reeked with idol and demon worship. And she went to Jesus, recognizing the symptoms that others had had. He could deliver her daughter, she told herself, almost like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years suffered the bleeding. And she heard about Jesus. She pressed in through the crowd and saying to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I would be healed. I know I'd be whole. And just like that woman who pressed in through and violating the laws of cleanliness because of her vaginal discharge, she went and touched the hem of his garment, thinking nobody would know, but if I can touch him, I know I'd be healed. And that's exactly what happened. You remember the story? And Jesus didn't rebuke her for violating the rules, but instead he said, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. and she went her way rejoicing. What doctors couldn't do, Jesus did. Faith came alive. And I think this woman also had the same kind of faith, persistent, dogged faith. She was going to press in. She didn't say, I'll touch the hem of his garment, but she said, I'm going to go to Jesus, and he's going to give me the answer I want. If he doesn't give me the answer, I'll be waiting on his doorstep the next day. Not going to give up. Sometimes we need to be persistent in our prayers for our children and for our grandchildren. Sometimes we need the faith that perseveres through difficulties and disappointments. Sometimes when they look at you and stare you in the face and they say, I don't love you, I hate you. I remember telling that to my mom and then feeling so guilty later. I went in and cried and asked her to forgive me. And it made her cry when I said it because it hurt, even though she knew I didn't really mean it. Moms just keep on loving. But this girl, she was demon-possessed. And can I tell you that Jesus still has power over demons today? That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Yesterday, my son-in-law, Mark, I married my oldest daughter. He's a pastor in Bismarck, North Dakota, and he's on his first overseas missions trip with other pastors. And he's in Uganda. And some of the reports back, we talked to our daughter yesterday, is that he's really excited about being there, but he can't wait to get home either. You know, he's pretty excited about getting home and getting back into civilization as he knows it. But he said that it's not uncommon. It's so very common. He said that they had a service, actually had a meeting of just the pastors. Somehow this woman got in that she wasn't supposed to be allowed in. It was supposed to be, you know, only pastors. And she's in there and she's around talking to different pastors and acting strange, and then they're having a service, and the power of God comes down, and then she rises on the floor, and she rolled, I mean, probably 40 feet, he said, at least, if I remember right, down there just frothing at the mouth and demons reacting to the presence of God. And I said, well, what did they do? Or she said, you know, she asked him, what did they do? And she says, well, a couple of ushers just went over and picked her up and carried her out and prayed deliverance over her. She says, it was like, oh, this happens all the time here. Can I tell you, because of the open door that we have given to the enemy in our country, that it's becoming more common here as well. You know, demons are real. They have real power. But can I tell you, the good news is that Jesus Christ has all power. And he's able to deliver. We need to remember that. That when our kids are in trouble, when our grandchildren are in trouble, we have an advocate, Christ Jesus the righteous. We can go and fall on our knees before him. We can cry out to him and ask him and plead with him and persevere in prayer for them, that God will bring them back to their senses and return them to the fold. Somebody say amen. You know, mothers have a way of getting hold of the horns of the altar in a time of need and trouble for their children, like this woman did. So what drove this woman to seek out and doggedly insist on a miracle for her child from Jesus, who she's not even a part of the covenant of the Jewish people? She had love. She was motivated by love. And secondly, she was a mother who had great faith. You know, faith, the Bible says, is a gift from God. We don't get it on our own, but it's a gift from God. And even Jesus said that even the faith, as small as a little mustard seed, can accomplish great things. And Jesus said to the woman, after he spoke healing over her daughter, when he recognized her faith, he said, dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. You don't have just faith, but you have great faith. And there's times we need more than just faith. We need great faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This mother had great love for her daughter. This mother had great faith for her daughter. This Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite remnant, believed in miracles even when the circumstances were desperate. This mother believed in the divinity of Christ because she addressed him as the Son of David and as Lord, titles of nobility and titles of lordship of divinity. And just like the blind beggar who cried out to Jesus to open his eyes, remember, he was standing there and crowds were going by and he heard the commotion and he asked, what's going on? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And just like Jesus does today, Jesus had mercy on him back then. Jesus, as I said, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This man received healing, this blind beggar, because of his great faith. He'd heard about Jesus. We hear about Jesus. We read about Jesus. We hear the word of God. It creates faith within us. This mother had confidence in the fullness of Jesus' power, that he was not only powerful, but he was super powerful. He was able to deliver this one. She had heard of other deliverances in her part of the country as travelers would go through and talk about this Jewish rabbi, this messianic person that was possibly the Messiah. This mother had confidence in the generosity of Jesus because she'd heard about his generosity and his love. This mother had confidence in Jesus being fair, that he was going to do for one person, he would do for her. How did she know that? I believe the Holy Spirit gave this woman, this non-believer in Christ, this person who is not a part of the covenants and promises of God, the gift of faith to cry out to Jesus. This mother had indomitable persistence, thirdly. She overcame the concealment of Christ, where he had gone to be alone. You know, sometimes we get a little offended if somebody violates our privacy, but Jesus was just there. We need to be there for people. She overcame where he was hiding. Then Jesus left Galilee. It says in our text, actually going over to Mark's version of this same account in Mark chapter 7, 24, Jesus left Galilee and went north to the regions of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. You know, this woman was seeking out help. Isaiah 55, 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." This woman heard her miracle was down the street or across town or wherever it was at, but she made the effort to be there. Can I just tell you, this woman's persistence and her faith was so strong and her love so strong that I believe if Jesus hadn't come up there, she might have traveled all the way down into Galilee to find him and would have gotten her miracle there as well. Jesus had retired to a place of privacy, and this woman sought him out where his place of retreat was and found him and began to press him for a miracle. This mother came to Christ without a specific invitation. There was no invitation. He didn't announce that we're having a crusade up here for the Gentiles. He just showed up looking for a place to be alone with his disciples. But the Bible says this. I want you to hear, and I've said this earlier. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. She heard the word about Jesus. I believe there were people who were down in Galilee who passed through and began to tell people about what he was teaching and how he responded, his loving kindness. Maybe told about how he accepted the children and blessed them when his disciples rebuked them, learned about his compassion and his love for children. Maybe he'll have compassion and love for my child, for my daughter. She overcame her own prejudice against the Jews. You know, there's something about when you're in a time of need that you put aside personal preferences and pet beliefs to believe on the Lord when times are tough. She overcame her silence overcame the silence and the neglect of Christ. She overcame the indifference of and rudeness, really, of his disciples. They didn't care anything about her. They despised her. She overcame the rejection of her nationality, how they rejected her because she was a remnant of the Canaanite people who had hurt the Hebrews when they came through there centuries earlier. The Jews, as we said earlier, hated the Gentiles, especially the Phoenicians. You know, to the Jews, Gentiles, all Gentiles were just dogs. Isn't that a terrible thing to say that? And I'm sure to the Gentiles, to the Jews, they were something similarly unpleasant. But when Jesus tells the woman, and here's the thing, when he tells the woman that it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, he used a term that wasn't like the term is a different word that was used for the dogs that were wild and were very prevalent in the culture, running and digging through refuge dumps for food and wild packs of dogs. He was referring to the little puppies and the pets that belong to a family. And he was saying it's not right to give the children's bread, the food that's on the table, to the dogs, the pets, the household pets. So Jesus' word for dog referred to the household pets, and she overcame her temptation to react in pride even at that and to retaliate when she was insulted. Oftentimes we want to push back when somebody does something to us. But instead she replied back and just smiled. I think probably a little smile on her face, maybe a little playful. Maybe she thought maybe Jesus had a little twinkle in his eye and a smile when he said that, just kind of toying with her to test her faith. And she replied back, you know, "Lord, even the household pets get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table. Even they get the leftovers, the scraps." But this mother came to Christ in faith and trust. She came trusting and expectant. I want to tell you something, moms, dads, that when you go to prayer for your children, your grandchildren, go with faith. Pray in faith. Believe God for great things. Have a spirit of expectancy rise in your soul about what God will do. God is able to do all things. Somebody say amen. Even when you're not there, when you pray, the omnipresent and omnipotent God, the all-powerful God and ever-present God, is able to send somebody there as an emissary of Christ and your emissary in your place to come alongside your child on the college campus, in a city across the country, or even on the other part of the world, and is able to come aside on next to them and to encourage them and to point them to the Savior. She came with trust and expectancy. She came praying in earnest and persevering in prayer. She came with great hope, and that expressed itself in deep humility. She humbled herself under this Jesus of Nazareth. And she came with a determination that she would not be denied. Sometimes you have a gift of faith, a manifestational gift of faith operating, and you're praying for your children, or praying for your marriage, praying for your grandchildren, that God will stir in you and give you a gift of faith that is so bold and so powerful that you will not be denied. That I want, God. This is according to your will that I ask, God. Your word says that if we pray according to your will, that we already have that which we've desired, God. You promised that you would do this, God. You promised you would hear me when I pray, God. You promised the Holy Spirit would respond. You promised that the Holy Spirit would convict and bring into repentance if there was anything, any way possible to do this. The faith of this troubled mother was rewarded. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back as we're closing. Her prayer was heard. We know the story. Jesus said, "Dear woman, your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Instantly healed. She was delivered instantly. And today, as we close out this Mother's Day service with this story of this troubled woman, maybe you're here today and you're troubled. Maybe you're here today and you're not troubled, but you're excited about what God is doing or what God is going to do in your family. You're excited about what God is going to do through you and in through your grandchildren. And it's time to just press in and touch the hem of his garment. Press in and persevere in prayer and believe Jesus for great things. Let love be the driving force and drive you to the one who loved us more than we loved him. He loves us unconditionally. The one whose love was motivated him to die on the cross for us, to pay the penalty of our sins so that we might be redeemed, delivered, and saved. Let your faith rise to meet your troubles. How many know that your God and the Lord Jesus Christ is so big, such a great big God, that he overshadows all of your troubles, all of your problems. Have faith in the one who is able to save, to forgive, and to deliver, and to heal. Refuse to be denied. Hold on to your faith, like Christ Jesus said when he spoke, and he said, keep on asking in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. This is the promise of God. These are the words of Christ, not of Pastor Tim. And I encourage you today to come around this altar today and press in around here and believe God for great things.